Betting on sports can be hard, but hiring Morgan & Morgan is easy. Morgan & Morgan is America's largest injury law firm. They have over 100 offices nationwide and more than 1,000 lawyers. Their fee is free unless they win. For more information, go to forthepeople.com/bestbets or dial #law, #529 from your cell phone. That's forthepeople.com/bestbets. This is a paid advertisement.
The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Friday morning to you. That's good Friday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. Are you taking us in? We appreciate it. We really do. I don't say that just sort of mechanically every morning.
That's right.
We're grateful. It's Gil Alexander. That's Kelly Bidlin, everybody. Live from Circa. It's a numbers game. How you doing, man?
Doing well. How about you?
How about that game last night? We'll get to that momentarily. I want to talk about the ending of that game. Today, though, Paul Sporer will join us. Last sort of look at the World Series before it begins. The World Series. Paul Carr on the Premier League. Not to mention our number two, of course. Well, we do a little Are We Sure as well. A little Friday tradition. Are We Sure? A Joe Pita-inspired segment. He was the one who first said, you know what you guys should do? You guys every Friday should be like, are we sure about this stuff in the NFL? So we're going to do that. But then Friday football really kicks in earnest. Hour number two, Chris Felica, Steve Fezzik, Dr. Bob. Does it get better than that? I don't think so. You remember the old Milwaukee beer commercials? It don't get no better than this.
I remember good old Milwaukee. I haven't had one of those in a while.
I hear that. I'm not a beer guy, but I hear that's a fine beer beverage.
It is. One of my favorite choices in college, Gil.
Yeah, old Milwaukee. So we'll do that as well. Steve Fezzik among so Dr. Bob on college football, Chris Felica, college football and beyond. Steve Fezzik wants to talk about all things, you know, NFL, week 8, week 9. He'll have a look ahead bet or two or three. I'm not sure what he wants to do in the end. And you know what else he wants to do? His top five dining experiences in Vegas.
That's right.
Notice he didn't say top five restaurants. He said top five dining experiences.
Oh, I noticed.
Yeah.
So I'm really expecting a great breakdown of the full experience for each place.
Oh, I'll hold him to it.
Yeah.
I'll be like, I need more experience.
Because the answer can't just be this dish is great at this spot.
Right. Because I saw a couple on the list. I'm like, well, that's the food is good, but not great. And he's like, that's why it's experience. So we'll get into that with him. That game last night, Minnesota and the Rams win it 30-20. So all those folks who loved the Rams, they end up being corroborated in a game that traded touchdowns early to make it 14-14. You thought there was going to be a million points scored.
Yep.
And then the flags came. And you and I were talking a little bit about this morning, which is, what do you really say besides the ending of this game, which we'll get to? What do you really say about this game? And you responded, yeah, I was wondering why, like, in the second quarter, I lost interest kind of thing.
Mm.
And we determined it was because of the stagnant nature of the game.
I felt like there was 900 flags in that segment. After, like you said, after a great first quarter where you're like, why didn't I bet the over, eh? Like, it looks like this is going to sail over.
Right.
Neither one of these defenses can stop the other one. And then, man, it just got bogged down, it felt like, in the second quarter. And yes, I had NBA on too, so it was easy to distract me. But like that, it just felt like that was the rest of the game. It kind of killed it until really the end then for me.
In the end, 15 accepted penalties. 15 accepted penalties. It was a bit of a mano-a-mano receiver duel between Justin Jefferson, who ended up 8 for 115. And he got to those 8 for 115 really early.
Yeah.
And then didn't get anything after that. And then the return of the great Puka Nacua.
God, was he awesome.
How good is he at
so
football?
Good.
7 for 106. Not just that, but he's, you know, available as a guy who can carry the football as well. Great blocker. Made a great block on a fourth down conversion in this game. I want to get to the end, though, because obviously Rams folks get the money. But as far as the total is concerned, it's 28-20 Rams at the 2-minute warning. And the Vikings have no timeouts left, right? So you run a play, you stay in bounds, and what, the Vikings at best, if you don't get the first down, the Vikings at best get the football down one score.
Yep.
With, you know, 1:15-ish left. Instead, Cooper Kupp, he goes out of bounds.
Yeah.
Like, his foot goes out of bounds. They push him out. And so the Vikings are given at least 30 seconds, if not 40 seconds more in this football game.
What are your thoughts on just that play effort sort of thing with Cup. Because I don't, to me, I guess it's just more of a, it happened.
Happened, but that's a cardinal sin, man. That could have been the difference between a win and a loss.
But he's going for the first down too, right? So that's where it got a little, difficult to me, where it's just not the dude, you got to do everything you can to stay in bounds. Because I understand if you pick up the first, then you're in good position to put this thing away.
Right. Well, that's true. It was 3rd and 12. He got 9 of them before stepping out of bounds. Yeah, that's a valid point. But still.
But still. Because, like, when it happens, you're like, oh, boy.
Pero todavía. I believe is what the Spanish folks would say. So the Vikings do get the ball back, but they get it with 1:46 left. Again, down. It's 28-20. Now, down one score. So they could still theoretically tie this football game, force overtime. The total was, depending on where you got it, right? Either, 48.5 or maybe 48. Maybe you were on a push.
Yeah.
Regardless.
We did see some under money come in late. So I was like 46.5 close to DraftKings,
I
think.
I didn't even see that. So the 46.5s, those were already over. Anything up to 48. It was 48 at that moment. But a lot of people, this was still in the balance on the total.
Mm-hmm.
And so the Vikings do end up getting the ball at the 5-yard line. But again, with much more time than they anticipated having, didn't matter. On 2nd down and 10 at the 5, Sam Darnold sacked by Byron Young in the end zone. Safety. All the unders go to die and the overs are winners. All the pushes go to die. Except for this one little thing on that play. It was Sam Darnold was blatantly face masked.
Yep.
Blatantly so.
Yep.
And went uncalled. Now, if you're a Vikings backer in this game, and Will Hill is a Vikings fan, and he was saying this all night, I think he's right. The Vikings didn't get a favorable whistle, generally speaking, through the night. Mm-hmm. Like, there was a few 3rd downs in the first half where they just kept bailing out the Rams.
Oh, it was
flags.
Incredible. Yeah, what did they get? Four first downs? At least it was 4, I think.
I remember 3 at a minimum, yes. But it just kept happening on 3rd down. So now this one was the most blatant of them all. It shouldn't have resulted in a safety. It should have resulted in a 15-yard penalty. The Vikings would have matriculated that much further down the football field. Obviously, they'd still be in their own territory, but they would still be in the ballgame down 8. Instead, it goes unflagged, and it's Katie bar the door, because then they did that whole thing where you have to, like, declare that. Remember that Miami-Tennessee thing where Miami had to do this, and Tennessee ended up with the ball at the 10-yard line on a penalty?
Yeah,
it was
right,
that weird
right,
situation.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, that was the ball game, because the no onside kick was accomplished. But the official explanation from the, I want to say it was from the referee, maybe it wasn't the referee, but one of the officials, whoever was doing the official explanation after the game said, that he personally was behind the quarterback, that the sack occurred on the other side of him, so he couldn't see the face mask. In other words, Darnold was facing the other direction. And he said the umpire had 2 players in between him and the actual face mask, so he was blocked. He was obstructed from seeing it. So therefore, no face mask was called. And anyway, that's how all your unders and pushes went to die.
Yeah, you're going to see a lot of replays this morning of a great camera shot from behind the end zone that shows the referee exactly where he is with what seems to be a very clear line of sight to the play. So I'm a little confused
about
the
explanation. That explanation should be disputed. Here's the other thing that I think needs to be brought up with this. Well, first of all, when did the whole notion of replay assist happen? Were we informed that this thing was going to blossom? Like, how many games are we watching now? We're like, oh, replay assist. We don't have to look at a replay assist. That is a replay assist doesn't cover this. So it's also a little bit of mishugas, because it's like, okay, well, why? If you have this thing and you clearly see this, why doesn't it cover that? Well, because we have to put, the parameter at some point. Like, I don't know.
I'm kind of tired after years and years of like of something like this happens, right? Yeah. And then we're always like, what's the point of replay? Because it does. We just have to keep bringing it up, because if you're going to miss something as obvious as this,
correct,
what's the overall point of the entire thing?
Couldn't agree more. If you're going to have the technology, sound like a $6 million man. We have the technology. No, I mean, if you have it, use it. Use it to the full extent of the technology.
Right.
Right.
But like, no, to the point you're making, too, it's different. Fine. The whole NFL review system we've lived under for years now. Fine. That's one thing. But if you want to go with these assisted calls that we're getting, then where's the assistance? Anybody who has a TV at home sees that's a face mask.
Yeah.
Like, I'm with you. What is the.
And I say this as a neutral observer. I was not involved. But I'm just saying.
Me either.
Putting my feet in other people's shoes, or what is it? Putting yourself in other people's shoes. Yeah, I could see how that would be frustrating.
It'd be weird if you only put your feet in people's shoes.
I couldn't come up with the expression. Okay. By the way, these are my NFL bets. Can we start with those? Because I ended up, I got to come up with 5 millions plays, and I bet all my millions plays in the end. It wasn't very easy coming up with 4 and 5. Let's just say that. The first one that I made this week was Seattle +3. Just because that was the guessing lines one where I'm just like, I don't understand why Buffalo is a full 3-point favorite. And I get it. There's no DK Metcalf. But I have faith in Mike McDonald to dream something up here where I just don't. Again, if Buffalo was a 1.5-point favorite or even 2.5, anything below 3, OK, maybe you can convince me. But the full three, really? I don't know.
I think DK's still got a chance, too.
And still has a chance. That's right. It's not official.
Okay, doubtful on the injury report is what I'm seeing, but I thought I heard language yesterday from McDonald that they were okay playing him even if he doesn't practice this week, as long as he's feeling okay by Saturday.
By the way, just a note on injury reports. Do you miss the probable designation, or do you have no missing of that at all? Remember how that went away a few years ago?
Oh, yeah. I have no idea what exists and what doesn't these days between NBA and NFL everything,
Remember, they got rid of probable. Yeah. It used to be probable. I ended up taking the Saints +7.5. That's in millions. And I took that also in real life because it's not really a backing of the Saints. It's how are the Chargers 7.5-point favorites against anybody?
I'm with you on that one. I didn't bet it, but it very, very well might end up as a millions play for
them. They've won one game since like September 15th, I believe. I'll take the 7.5. And again, I don't want to watch it, but I just want to find out what the final score is at the end.
Is it 7.5 in millions? I didn't even look at it.
It is 7.5 in millions. Yes, it is 7.5 in millions.
Interesting.
I ended up with the Bengals. If you go up and down the Bengals schedule, the losses are not shameful at all. And I get it. You are what your record is. But 2.5 against the Eagles, I ended up laying it with the Cincinnati Bengals, believing that they are actually the better football team and getting less than 3 here. Ultimately, I was convinced to play this. We'll get to the other two in a bit. We'll take a soccer break. Well, actually, we'll do the last two coming up on the other side, and then soccer with Paul Carr next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
If you're looking for some action, I got just the thing for you. Our friends at First Bet have you covered. Sign up today to unlock exclusive promotions, plus watch and wager on hundreds of exciting horse races every day from across the country and around the world. Sign up at firstbet.com. That's the number one, stbet.com. Use promo code VSIN200 to claim a 20% rebate for your first 60 days, up to $200. Head to firstbet.com today. Gil Alexander, we get tweets at Beating the Book. I want to get through these because you guys are the best. 3Jack H3131. Happy Friday, gents. Are we sure that Todd Wishnam knows how to pronounce regular? You caught that on the Megapod. Which Football Friday guest is favored to use podcast language today? My money is on Dr. Bob. We actually got through a Football Friday last week without anybody cursing. Chris Velika, Steve Fezzik, and Dr. Bob. It's almost like they planned it. But last week we got through it. Jack Locks, yes, Goldfish Greg for college hoops. Do it. I'd love to. New York Mets 16. Scott, are we overlooking the fact that it was against the New York Giants that Saquon would set his personal record, the team that cast him aside because paying Danny Dimes was more important to the franchise than allowing Barkley, quote unquote, to eat? So you're saying that was more justified for Sirianni to do that because there was a revenge factor. Point taken, but I still understand what Todd was saying, which is, would any coach, even if it was the team that cast him aside, do that? Any of the greats? Would Belichick do that? Would Walsh? Would Parcells? Would Gibbs? Maybe, maybe not. I'm thinking not. Blue Hen Bill, what are the odds that the Dumbo coaching move of the week will come from the Philadelphia-Cincinnati game, said the lifetime Eagles fan? Ugh. Brian Schaefer, oh, these are interesting because we got two of these. Brian Schaefer, Gil, is Ricky Pearsall from the Niners allowed to get comeback player of the year? He did get shot in the chest, but does he get disqualified for being a rookie? I think he does, Brian. I don't think you can win comeback player of the year as a rookie. And Drew from Boise, we love Drew. He said, is Ricky Pearsall eligible for comeback player of the year? He'll be a regular now with Ayuk out. I think the answer is eligible technically, yes, but I don't think, Harry, by the way, here's the language. Well, thank you guys. Appreciate it. Everybody back there. The spirit of the AP comeback player of the year award is to honor a player who has demonstrated resilience in the face of adversity by overcoming illness, physical injury, or other circumstances that led him to miss playing time the previous season. That's the problem, guys. The decision to provide this guidance was made last December, but could not be implemented for the 2023 awards because the season was almost completed. So by that, by the letter of that law, the answer is no, he's not eligible. Ladies and gentlemen, Steve Fezzik, kind enough to join us in studio, as always, on Fridays. He's the only back-to-back winner of the Hilton Super Contest, and he's looking sharp. How you doing, man?
Accolades to my wife for dressing me. You know, that certainly
Shout
helps.
Shout out, Miss Fezzik.
Missed the Megapod, haven't listened to it yet. I hear the Wishnev interruptions are down. So if you've been tracking the historic interruptions and you wagered as such, you're a loser, this Megapod.
You are a loser. Before we talk football, which is what you are ostensibly here for, you have a baseball, you want to make a baseball macro statement that I believe you and I might disagree on a little. What is it?
Very good. So I do feel like the Super Bowls, the World Series, you can have situations where there's really good wagers to be made, especially if you have a public team against a non-public team fading the public. But in a case like this, Yankees, Dodgers, and I'm a guy that's just been, I've had three great baseball seasons in a row. Shout out, I'm the great aggregator. So the base winner, I get his stuff. He's just been tremendous. And that's a big reason is I get other people who are really good at this and I aggregate their information.
Okay.
All right.
So as long as you're giving credit, it's a wonderful thing.
Famously, I used to Gil was one of the guys that I would get his plays years ago and was part of the great aggregation.
Yes.
Having said all that, I think this is what's wrong with it's like Jerry Maguire, the movie. It's like this is what's wrong with the industry is like if you're a baseball expert and you ask a baseball expert, who do you like in the World Series? It is a very uncool answer to say, I don't like anybody. The number's right. But that, I really feel emphatically, is the case here. So you've got people, Spreadopedia telling you it's going to be a sweep. And you got, base winner saying, hey, the Yankees are every bit as good. I make it 49%, 51%. The truth is, you know what? There's probably a better opportunity to wager on like a Utah State college football game than to wager on this World Series.
I don't disagree with you when you're talking about it game by game, which is why I don't have a bet in game one. I don't know if I'll have a preflop bet in any of the games. I don't know. But as an aggregate, right, as the series as a whole, right, I got -124 on the Dodgers. It's -135. So I did get the best of it. I feel like that's a justifiable wager, right? I feel like if you do it in the aggregate like that, where your handicap has time to manifest, or at least more time to manifest, series are still small sample sizes, don't get me wrong, right? But the ultimate small sample size is one game alone, so your point is taken on that.
You know, it's fascinating. I got to address this. I'm not sure you got the best of it. You may have.
All Maybe. Right?
Because you're beating the closing number.
Yeah.
All right. Well, assume nothing changes in the next 8 hours or whatever.
Yeah.
So, but beating the closing number is not sufficient to winning in the long run. You have to beat the no vig closing number. So right now circa, they have -129 on the series price on the Dodgers, +118 on the Yankees. So if I average those, I'm at what one? I'm at -124.5, +124.5. So you are beating the closer. You're doing it, but not by five and not by 6 cents, but by half a cent.
Yeah. You understand my general point, though.
I do. Yes. Absolutely.
Yeah. I understand what you're saying. But it's a listen, I said it about the election earlier. I said about the election, which is I think anybody who says with any certainty what the line ought to be is fooling themselves, especially with an electoral college where it's a winner take all per state. Right. That's the hardest thing to handicap because 1% gets you all the marbles, if you will.
Absolutely right. So like when Trump won in 2016, just looking at the popular vote, this is fascinating. He lost the popular vote by 2%. And then he lost it by like 4% in 2020. And like my feeling is like I think the popular vote, the money is pouring in on Trump. All right. I've got no dog in the fight politically. It's all about betting. But I'm like, how is he going to win the popular vote when he won fairly? I mean, in 2016, everything went right and he still lost by over 2%. I think wait, there's no hurry. At post, I think you got to bet the Dems on the popular vote.
Yeah, you were saying you thought the Dems popular vote and Trump to win election might be the best bet. Parlay,
an anti-correlated, parlay, a very rare anti-correlated parlay because I think both. Obviously, they're anti-correlated, but both, I think, are likely right at this point in time. But when I say likely, it's more than 50%.
But to your initial point, I believe that, again, and you said it for the World Series, I'll say it for the election, there are some things that we just don't know, right? Like, and
Absolutely.
It's okay to say, right? It's okay to not have a bet in game one of the World Series.
Yes.
Based on the version. Like, it's okay to do that. Just because it's there doesn't mean you have to play it. All right, let's go to, I want to get to restaurants later because you want to do a restaurant experience thing. So yes, let's get to the NFL. You want to start with this week before we get to look at it?
Yeah, and I'm landing on your Washington football team. Someone's got to explain this line to me. What is going on? The Bears. Who are the Bears? They're laying 3 now.
Yeah.
Okay, so you can get Washington plus 3, laying $1.10, shop around at some of the local books here.
Well, you know what the explanation is, obviously, right?
Well, obviously, yeah. Daniels being out, and yeah, that's a huge drop up. But I don't have as a huge drop up. I mean, I got Daniels rated pretty high, but I mean, I got better than an average quarterback now. He's a rookie quarterback, but with a very capable backup. I've got a 3-point downgrade.
Is he very capable? I mean, he was against the Panthers. I just don't know.
I am at minus 2. All right, so minus 2.
Okay.
What
do you have Daniels at?
I would have Daniels plus 1.
You only have Daniels plus 1.
Yeah, my quarterback rate. You could, but I've got Kirk Cousins and Jared Goff 1.5 points better than an average starting quarterback. An average starting quarterback's very capable.
Okay.
Rodgers, Geno Smith. Those are my zeros.
What's your Jared Goff? What's Jared Goff number?
Jared Goff would be slightly, he's 1.5 points better than an average quarterback. Mahomes is God. He's 4.5.
Better. Oh, okay. So that's not, so then plus 1 on Daniels is that makes sense.
I mean, that's really, okay. I mean, that means he's a borderline top 10 quarterback in the league.
Okay. Yes. Without that context, I didn't really get what plus 1.
Right.
Is. Okay. So you just think that's too many points then.
Yeah, my power ratings had this game close to pick them. This is so rare. By the way, I put out my power ratings at Fezzik Sports each and every week. There's a character, Sam Hoppen, that aggregates all of the power ratings and ranks us in terms of our performance. It's kind of like compared to Nephilo. And
who else is in there?
The Peabody Massey.
Massey Peabody. Yeah.
Kevin Cole.
He rates your power rankings.
How their performance. He rates
based
them
on performance afterwards.
Yeah, yes.
Oh, that's interesting. How are you faring?
I'm 3rd.
Out of
8.
Okay.
Yeah.
Who's number 1?
I think it's
care to give them a shot.
I don't want to say because I'm not 100%
okay,
sure. That's
right.
Sam Hoppen is the fellow.
Yes,
that puts it together.
We tracked him down last time. Okay, so you like Washington plus the 3. I hope it happens.
And this is what I love about this, too. Sometimes when you have a line that's different than what you make it, you're like, maybe I'm missing something. All right. But you nailed it. I know what's going on here. People are like the recreational bettors. And remember, all these favorites are covering the last 2 weeks like crazy. So the public has all this money and they're like, oh, Washington's down their stud quarterback. You know, we're going to bet against them.
Yeah. Built in, as they say. I hope you're right, man. I hope you're right about that game. I am not as convinced about Marcus Mariota's long-term success, right? Like, so, can he win a football game? Sure.
And he looked extremely capable last week. They didn't miss a beat. That's one data point.
We'll get Steve's look-aheads to week number 9. That's been a staple of his appearances. And Steve ranks the top 5 restaurant experiences here in Las Vegas. Keyword experiences. Coming back on A Numbers Game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
College basketball tips off November 4th. 9 days away. Now's the time to get your copy of our annual betting guide. This year's guide includes Matt Heumann's top 50 rankings, all 32 conferences previewed, Wooden Award candidates, futures and season-long prop bets, plus betting nuggets on every major conference team from Greg Hoops Peterson. Love it. Only way to get the guide is to become a VSiN Pro subscriber, though. That's a VSiN Pro subscriber. Sign them now for just $120. Get VSiN Pro access to everything we do until May 1st. That's all college basketball season long, March Madness, and beyond for less than $20 a month. Sign up today at VSiN.com/subscribe. Skill Alexander, Steve Fezzik, kind enough to hang with us for a second segment. Do you bet college basketball? I don't think of you as a college basketball guy.
I bet everything. Hey, shout out to Greg Peterson. What a class guy. I one time said something that was Voldemort Fezzik on Twitter, I think, said something that wasn't so favorable. And I was having a bad time a few years back.
Not
and
you.
Greg took time out to send a private message to me. And that meant a lot to me. And he's obviously does a great job with the hoops. So Greg Peterson, get him on speed dial. We got basketball games.
Wait a minute. I want to rewind on that. Did you say something mean about Greg Peterson and then he DM'd you afterwards?
I said something, well, mean, so subjective. Something like,
we know how you are.
Unflattering.
To him. About him.
On Twitter. On Twitter.
About him.
I was just.
How dare you?
Hey, I'm a Dumbo all the time.
But look how he handled it, right?
And like months later, boom, nicest guy in the world.
Of course
that
he
guy,
is.
That's the type of guy you want to partner
do you,
with.
Do you feel the emotion of shame ever? Does that cause you to not do that again? No, it doesn't.
I should, but.
Steve Fezzik, half man, half robot, everybody. Okay. Let me try to give you a little shame here. That's actually not shame, but I want to go. So you've come on here and you give your look ahead to the upcoming week. And so it's been an interesting history here. Let's talk about the Steelers and the Jets.
Epic failure on closing line value. epic failure. And I'm gonna say I was wrong on that. So I gave out Steelers minus one when they were favored.
Yeah.
They closed plus 2.5.
Not only that, but during the game, I can remember receiving a text from Steve Fezzik. Oh, my God, I am such an idiot. Oh, my God.
Well, I should have thought this out and said, the Davante Adams trade actually had a real tangible chance of happening.
Yeah, yeah.
As did the quarterback change, where we were all concerned the Russell Wilson, and I was concerned, was a downgrade. And then famously, it's almost like in Heaven Can Wait, the movie. You ever see Heaven Can Wait?
Warren Beatty? I have not, but I'm familiar.
They're very negative about Mr. Farnsworth becoming their quarterback. All right. He's taking over. He buys the team and he becomes the quarterback. And everyone's like super, super negative. And they start spinning the ball. And they look at each other and say, looks like we got ourselves a rich quarterback.
Exactly what happened in that Pittsburgh game.
Yes.
By the end, you were a genius. Yes. The other one, though, is, and this hasn't happened yet, but the total in this Falcons Buccaneers game, what do you have to say for yourself?
48.
Yeah.
You know what? Unpredictable contingent events. And this is the danger of betting a week early or even games of the year early, because more often than not, it should work and you should get the closing line value. And then what's this? Evans goes down. And then for some reason, Tampa's down 30. They're trying to win. Get the ball to Godwin.
It's brutal.
Oh, dear.
Well, they weren't down 30, to be fair. But yes, their chances of winning.
Were, yeah. Yes. And so and kudos to them for playing hard the whole way. But unfortunately, now both.
They were the ones who recovered the onside kick. Yes. Now it jumps.
Both the wide receivers are donezo for this. You know, and that's a 3-point downgrade to their offense. So that over 48, don't be looking at prior shows and say, Fez loved over 48. Now he can get over 46. That's a great bet. No, it isn't.
Things happen in between.
Sorry.
Yeah. All right. Well, for week 9, so not this week, but next week, you have three different plays you like.
Yes, and this is not unusual that I'm going to like more games week 9 than week 8. Why? Because the limits on these games are so much lower than they are, that the market has not reached a point of equilibrium yet, and it's not unusual. My power ratings point me in the direction of several plays. So, boom, let's do them. First one, normally I do set up and go. I'm just going to give them to you here. So we're Chargers -3 at Cleveland. I make this line 5. On the LA Chargers. So now the Chargers actually opened to do a comp here. They opened -3 at Arizona. Now that game, that line did come down to Chargers like -1 at. But think about it. Arizona is way, way, way better than Cleveland. They're not in the same area code. So value with the Chargers -3.
The change to Jameis doesn't dissuade you?
It does dissuade me. Jameis is a 2-point upgrade, but even with that upgrade in my power ranks, I still have the line at 5.
Okay.
So if I make it 5, I'm laying 3. Same thing with this New England Tennessee. It's ludicrous. You would never, ever lay 3 with the Tennessee Titans. But the Tennessee Titans are not just better than New England. New England is like the worst. It is the worst team in the NFL. And Tennessee, where did I got? Like number 20, 27. I mean, but by power ratings wise, I have Tennessee laying 5.
That's a game. That's my deep dive analysis
viewing.
Of that game.
Must viewing. Yeah. And finally, and this is very this is a lesson you can take home. So the Rams are at the Seahawks, and the Seahawks are a little bit better than the Rams. All right. And Seattle was laying 3. But now, you know what? They're not a little bit better no more, because we had all these questions about the Rams. Is Kupp going to play? Is Puka going to play? Are they going to be any good? Puka looked pretty darn good out there.
Puka's great.
So 3 hours before that game started on Thursday, Seattle was better than the Rams. When that game ended, the Rams are better than Seattle. So you need to make a significant line change here, and it wasn't done. So Rams plus three at Seattle. That's a go.
All right. Chargers, like you said, that's a go in RAS style. Chargers at the Browns. Titans, you're on minus three versus the Patriots. Rams plus three at the Seahawks for week number nine. Okay. Now in the final few minutes, this is what everybody's been waiting for. Your top. We noticed that you use the very specific diction here. The top five restaurant experiences in Las Vegas. That was intentional. Yes,
I will die on this hill here where like okay. We talk about the best baseball stadiums, and Dodger Stadium, even though it's a cathedral, can never make top five best experiences because you have to drive through traffic to Chavez Ravine and drive home, as opposed to going to the game at San Diego and going to the Gaslamp. And just having so much going for like in San Francisco. Same thing with restaurants. You want to be in a really great ambiance, and the Wynn is my favorite hotel casino in Vegas, so it's not surprising. I've got two of them at the Wynn.
Are we doing this 5-4-3-2-1, or these are
put them in any order. So the Wynn buffet is excellent. It may not, if you're a carnivore, you might prefer going to Caesar's, but at the Bacchanal, but overall experience, it's just so uplifting to be walking through the Wynn and seeing all of that.
It feels like the Wynn buffet is a little healthier than most buffets too.
It is. Yeah. Absolutely. They've got great salads.
Yep.
I mean, but they still have it. If you want it,
sure.
And just across the board, I just love that whole experience. And I got to tell you, at the Wynn, tough ticket, Delilah. The supper club at Delilah takes you back to like the late 1920s, live music. If you do have children, you can go before, I think, 8 o'clock. You can go early. The food is very good, but I'm not good enough evaluating food for it to matter. It's the experience
that really matters. The food is very good. It's not off the charts good, but you're right. It is the single greatest experience in Vegas. You are transported to the 1920s. Don't let them seat you outside. In the summer, they have outdoor seating. Don't let them do that because it's not worth it then. But indoors, it is absolutely spectacular. Delilah's is an LA-based thing, so there's a lot of celebs that end up there. They had a little trouble with that at the beginning, by the way. Like, Delilah's didn't get that. If it was like a high roller, you kind of had to give them a table. They're like, I'm sorry, 50 Cent already has that table book. They're like, yeah, he just dropped $1 million in the sports book. You got to give him a table. So there was a little bit of that at the beginning, but Delilah is fantastic.
Yeah, let's go to Fontbleu. Okay. Motherwell, very important. Do not park in the South Park. This will ruin the whole experience. You have to valet at Fontbleu, because if you walk in from Fontbleu, you'll think, oh, I love this place. If you South Park, you're like, oh, right off the bat. Motherwolf, best pasta I've ever had. They make it fresh.
It's really?
Yes.
And you haven't feel like, been.
Huh. And you feel like it's an experience. You walk in, it's like it was described as like going back and like dining on the Titanic. Maybe a bad example, but I mean, just so cool.
What happened there?
Across the way, you get transported back in time. So Mother Wolf, just fantastic Italian, and the fresh pasta was just incredible.
Then you have?
I have Nobu at Caesars.
Oh,
so
I love Nobu.
You've been at Nobu, the beef Wagyu tacos are like the best 2 ounce thing I have ever eaten my entire life. But don't go to the one at Paris. Go to the one at Caesars, and just the whole experience at the bar, the specialty drinks, the ambiance. You see celebrities, and nothing like the Yellowtail appetizer. There's food. I don't even like Yellowtail appetizer, and I love their Yellowtail appetizer. Spot on, great across the board.
That's the place where Wishnev, like, he refuses to eat on the principle that the food is too expensive. He's like, I can't eat this.
Watching him, Joey Chestnut, down those Wagyu tacos was difficult for me.
By the way, we build this as a top five. You gave us four. Is that your way of saying top five? By five, you meant four?
No, there's one more.
Oh,
there's
what's the other one?
Because these are all country club, break your budget. I've got one cheapo.
Okay, what's that?
Ellis Island Barbecue. You can with your player's card, you can get like a full rack of ribs with chicken, and it is darn good. It is the secret barbecue place. Gil doesn't go out his secret, your secret sushi place, but this, you will love this place. You can feed a family for like $30 at Ellis Island Barbecue.
Thank you, Steve. Steve Fezzik, everybody. Football and food. How could you beat that? Dr. Bob next on A Numbers Game.